Dr. John Carlton continues to stay in the hospital for observation and test. The wife of Mrs. Fred Smith, also is still a patient in Wake Memorial Hospital. Our hearts have been saddened the last few hours over the death of one of our graduates, John Trulock, and the serious injury of another graduate. We will want to remember these in prayer as we pray today and then the days to come. I would like to read as our scripture lesson this morning from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, from verse 27 through the third verse of chapter 13. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. May we pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we express from the depths of our heart our gratitude for our heritage. We are thankful for the coming of the Christ, the blessedness of our salvation. We thank thee for the freedoms that are ours and the privileges under this great nation. Grant that they may continue and be extended over this world. We're deeply grateful for the developments of the previous weeks and months. May efforts, negotiations continue. May in time we have increased understanding among all peoples over this earth, in the Near East, especially in all sections of the world. Help as we continue to negotiate and pray for peace, that these may have an adequate basis for their negotiations, that these negotiations may develop into long-range benefits. We realize that there are so many over this world this day that are sick, that are hungry, that do not have adequate direction in life, that are depressed and discouraged. Help us to be hungry with them, to be discouraged with them, to the point that we will help alleviate this hunger, this discouragement, that we can be of adequate help to these that are in need. Be with these, our loved ones, that are sick, that are distressed in mind, specifically this day. Help them to know that we are concerned about their well-being, that we will be exercising prayerful concern during these days to come. Be with us as we worship together this morning. Draw us closer to thee. This is our prayer in thy name and for Christ's sake. Amen. The one who has come to lead our worship service this morning, Dr. John Tulloch, is a native of Tennessee, a cum laude graduate of Carson Newman College. After graduation from Southeastern Seminary, he returned to Tennessee and enrolled for and was granted the PhD degree from Vanderbilt University. He began teaching at Belmont College in 1960 and last year became chairman of the Department of Religion at that college. Dr. Tulloch has a true pastor's heart and relates the pastoral ministry in a most effective way in his teaching. We've been deeply grateful for the work he has been doing with young people and for the interest he has shown in Southeastern Seminary. After our music, we will hear Dr. Tulloch.
Father, open our hearts and our minds to thy Spirit, for we ask it in thy name. Amen. P.H. Hooker is a tall, gaunt mountaineer. He's a sort of Abraham Lincoln without hair, since he has very little on top of his head. P.H. Hooker has been a Baptist pastor in the mountains of eastern Tennessee, western North Carolina, and north Georgia for over 50 years. And if you listen to him preach, and you hear his rather strange way of using the English language, if you count yourself among the more sophisticated, you'll probably laugh. But the joke would be on you. Because P.H. Hooker is a remarkable man. He's a man that if you come into his presence, or if he comes into your presence, he can in a short time make you feel as if you have known him all your life. He's one of those people who can find out more about you in 10 minutes than most people can find out in 10 hours. Because, you see, P.H. Hooker has that greatest of all God's gifts,
the gift of love. And he's able to communicate that gift to everyone who meets him.
It seems especially appropriate to me that Paul has inserted into the midst of a discussion of the gifts and callings of God this beautiful hymn on love, which we find in 1 Corinthians 13. And at the risk of doing violence to Paul's intentions in writing this passage, I'd like to apply this scripture to this audience. I suppose that's called meddling, isn't it? When we try to apply scripture to us. As Dr. Binkley has often said, this is a community of learning. And most of you are here, I hope, to learn that you may fulfill what you conceive to be your role in God's kingdom's work. And the categories which I choose this morning may not fit you exactly, but you can't duck because you're included. Some of you will be called missionary. Your field of service may be the United States, or it may be the world. Your job may be pastor, evangelist, nurse, doctor, agriculturalist, airplane pilot. Your place of service and the people you serve may become so dear to you that they will become as your own people, and the country may become as your own country. Or it may be that once you get there and you find out about what's to be faced, that you might decide that you're in the wrong place, and you may come back to the safety of the United States or come back to a field of service which you feel is much more nearly your own. Your service may be such that in years to come, you will be looked upon as a great missionary statesman, or perchance, you might even one day supplant Lottie Moon or Annie Armstrong as the patron saint of Baptist mission offerings. I don't think that's quite likely, but you might. But whatever your service, and no matter what your service, or how famous you become, or how great your sacrifice, if you have not love, you will be nothing. Others among you will be called chaplain or counselor. When I was a seminary student, if one said he was going into the chaplaincy, it meant that he was going into the military chaplaincy. But I've kept up enough to know that over the years, this word, chaplain or counselor, and maybe you don't like me to equate them, but I think they're close enough together to do so, now covers an ever-expanding variety of fields of service: institutional chaplaincy, and military chaplaincy, and hospital chaplaincy, and on ad infinitum. And I can understand why many would be attracted to this type of ministry, because of the opportunity to deal with human need on a personal, intimate level. But as a chaplain or as a counselor, you can very easily fall prey to the temptation to manipulate troubled people to satisfy your ego, to play God to those who look upon you, whom you look upon as the weaker ones. For as a chaplain, dealing with deep, personal, human needs, if you have not love, you will be nothing. Some would be called evangelists. Now, you know, many of us have a tendency to sneer at the term evangelist because we associate this with egotistical number counters who are eager to get a decision no matter what kind or what method may be used. Yet, evangelism, in its proper role, is the lifeblood of the church.
It's easy for us who've already accepted Christ to say that evangelism isn't really as necessary anymore as it once was, because you see, the important one is already into the kingdom, namely, old number one, me. And so I can leave off evangelism. Late Dr. Staley was fond of saying that there were three great necessities of Baptist life: missions, education, and evangelism. And my preaching uncle, Paul Culpepper, who just retired as the oldest or the longest serving associational missionary in the mountains of Georgia, added a fourth necessity: stewardship. Being an associational missionary, of course, he would have added that one. And he observed that if any one of these four things were missing, it would be like trying to haul a wagon load of pumpkins uphill with your tailgate out. Now, if you've never tried that, you've never experienced frustration. But following Dr. Staley's figure, we need missions to get outside ourselves, education to give our zeal direction, and evangelism to keep us sharing Christ's love with the lost and the needy. But even if your fame as an evangelist exceeds that of Billy Graham, if you have not love, you will be nothing. Some of you will be called teacher. When men have been won, they need to be taught. I had a cousin, Joyce, who was a year older than I. Joyce lived to be 16 chronologically, but she never was more than 6 months old mentally. She lacked that capacity to grow. The tragedy is that when you serve churches, you'll find that there are people who, even though they have the capacity to grow, have not grown because there has not been someone who is so concerned with Christian education to teach these people properly. And you face the tremendous responsibility of trying to teach people who have the capacity for growth and to shape it to the right ends. And I can say, as one who's been trying to do this in a more formal sense for some 13 years, that you'll never find anything that's more thrilling to do if this is where you're supposed to be. But in all your imparting of the facts and the principles of Christian growth, if you have not love, you will be nothing. Some may even be called musicians. I was a part of Ben Johnson's first choral efforts in this seminary. He even let me be soloist. I've always been grateful to him for that, because not too many people let me be soloist. But that's some indication of how scarce the material was. And I have, over the years, although I came from a Stamps Baxter Grand Ole Opry background, grown to deeply appreciate the great music of the church through the ages. This song, which this group sang just a few minutes ago, thrilled me deeply. But if you're a musician and you have all of the technical qualities and all of the technical preparation that a musician needs, if you have not love, you will be nothing. some of you will be called pastor or preacher or minister. This role, I'm sure, more than any other, will be the role that the majority of you will seek to fill in the years that are ahead. Dr. Leo Green once told me, when I was a student here, that the reason that he teaches the way he does is that because the majority of the men in his classes will become pastors. And he feels that this is the best style of teaching for prospective pastors. Dr. Mark Lovelace used to observe in his classes and those kinds of quips that he could always get off, that when better sermons are written, Southern Baptists will preach them. I think that you might say of Dr. Green, when Dr. Green writes better sermons, Southeastern students will preach them. And he'll have to work hard to write any better ones than he already does. And there are among you, I'm sure, some who will become outstanding pulpiteers, others who will be pastors of great churches and become outstanding pastors, and I'm afraid to say, but I suspect that it is true, that there are some among you who will become so skilled in denominational politics that you'll be able to show the Republicans and the Democrats a thing or two. I would hope that the first two categories are well represented, and that the third is not. But if your sermons outshine Spurgeon, or your pastoral abilities exceed those of George W. Truett, if you have not love, you will be nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Shall we stand? O Lord, help us to be technically competent and ethically aware, but with all our competence and all our awareness, help us most of all to love, for we ask it in thy name.